A reading from the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything else belonging to your neighbor. When all the people witness the thunder and the lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us. We will listen. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting at my office down in Sandy Run. I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but I'm pretty sure I was doing, something, beneficial, not napping or anything. And I received a phone call from Pastor Paul, and I said, "P-Square, how you doing?" And he said, "Well, Rick, I'm doing great. We're doing our Lenten series, and we would like for you to come and speak one week with us during the Lenten season." And of course, I said yes. And I asked him what we were going to be looking at, and he said that we're going to be doing a series on the Small Catechism. Because this year, as many of you know, is the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation. And in commemoration of that, we are doing a series on Martin Luther's Small Catechism. Now, we always talk about the Small Catechism, but for there to be a Small Catechism, there was also a Large Catechism that was written that is much longer and much more in-depth than the Small. Both of them were written in 1529, not long after Luther had taken a tour of the churches around the German state of Saxony. And what he found was that many of the clergy were very ignorant of the basics of the Christian faith. In fact, legend has it that he went to one parish and all the pastor spoke about during the whole service was about his new recipe for beer. So Luther knew that there was some work that needed to be done. So he wrote the Large Catechism for pastors and wrote the Small Catechism for families to be used in their homes. It was not intended, as one seminary professor told us, it was never intended to be used to torture teenagers, though that has seemed to be the way the church has and its wisdom has decided to use the Small Catechism over the centuries. But the fact that we're still talking about it 500 years later shows that the small catechism has stood the test of time as a simple and meaningful way to teach the truth of God's love for us. Luther, in it, selected five things that he thought that every Christian should know about. The Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, and communion. Now, tonight, with this being the first, we're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments tonight and what it teaches us about God's will for our lives together. What are the Ten Commandments? What are their purpose? Why did God give them to the children of Israel and through them to us today? A helpful way to answer this question is to not picture yourself sitting in a nice, beautiful, comfortable church in Columbia, South Carolina in 2017. But instead, picture yourself out in the desert as a runaway slave, not knowing right from wrong, up from down, right from left. You had no idea what to do next. Now, one thing's for sure, you're overjoyed. You had spent your whole life making bricks and building cities for Pharaoh. You had longed for this day. You wanted something better in your life and something better in your children's life. You wanted a pat on the back rather than the lash of the whip. You wanted to be able to choose what work you wanted to do in the morning rather than what some grumbling, hateful taskmaster wanted you to do. Most importantly, you wanted this, not only you wanted this for your children, your parents had wanted this for you, your grandparents had wanted this for your parents, and now, after hoping, after wishing, after praying, all of a sudden one day this man named Moses walks out of the desert. And God works through him to humiliate the most powerful man in the world with plagues. And then destroys his army at the Red Sea. Now that day had finally come. Now you are finally free. But now what? Now what? And it's not just you. There's thousands like you that for ages, for as long as you can remember, your entire life, right from wrong, have been determined by whatever where you were told to by the Egyptians. Now, all of a sudden, you had to learn right from wrong on your own. God knew that the free people of Israel would need guidance or else they would fall apart. So, God had Moses lead the people to Mount Sinai. And there God would speak to the people directly. Now, in most movies, you see Moses going up to the top of the mountain and receiving the tablets. And yes, eventually Moses did. But originally, first of all, what we saw in the reading tonight is that God spoke directly to the Israelites for the first time and told them these 10 words. And the reason he was speaking to them directly was so they would have no doubt at all, that this was what God wanted for them. And as God was speaking, the people said, no, we cannot bear to hear God talking to us. So Moses, you go up the mountain and you talk to God for us. You go listen for us. And Moses does. And that, so God gives him these words now and enshrined on tablets to be the basis of their new life together, as a way to teach them right from wrong, good from evil, a way to how to live in the life of freedom that God has won for them. The commandments are not meant to destroy it or to be a way to restrict or limit their freedom from slavery. Rather, it was meant to protect it from the inside out. And we can see that in a number of the laws. Lies protected with the law against killing. The truth protected by the law to not bear false witness. Basic necessities protected by the law not to steal. And in return for gratitude, worship of God is protected through commands of, you know, don't use God's name lightly. And make sure you take the time each week to spend your time worshiping the Lord. Each protected a gift from God so that they might live in God's wisdom. The Ten Commandments remind us that we are a people that are cared for. That God is not arbitrary, like a slave taskmaster. Nor does God want to milk us out of anything like the Egyptians wanted to do to the Hebrews. Rather, God wants us to flourish. God wants us to reach our full potential. But in order to do that, He gave us gracious limits. God in the Bible there's three acts of extraordinary love and care that God gives to the world. And they're the three things that maintain our faith today. The first one is at the very beginning, to create the world. If God had not created the world, we would have never known what it meant to live. We would have never lived ourselves, never taken a breath, would have never known any of the other people here in this room. That was God's first act of love, was creating the world. And the greatest act of love was to send Jesus so that in His victory over death, we might have eternal life. But in between, God gave us the Ten Commandments to make sure that in that time between our own creation and birth and at the beginning of life and then at the very end, that time when we enter eternal life, that in between we would know how to live this life well. With our friends, with our neighbors, with our families. The 10 words are God's gift to us so that we would know what loving our neighbor looks like. So we would know what true caring looks like. All of us have a habit of sometimes being selfish, thinking of ourselves. But the commandments help us look beyond ourselves to those around us, and most of all to God, who is the source of life, who is the source of mercy, who is the source of grace, who is the source of joy. The commandments help us live in this life and is a gift to the one who has given us His own life, Jesus, so that we could live with God forever. Amen.